Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Welcome to our second Friday of the week. Kind of. He's Tim McAuliffe on the wheels of steel with the horns in his basement. I'm Sid Sixero in my basement. This is Tim and Sid. Here's where you can catch us. Sportsnet 360. Next hour, we're across all the Sportsnet mains. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on radio. Sportsnet590.ca online and available 24/7. Via the podcast. Coming up over the next 2 hours here on Tim and Sid, Raptors play-by-play man Matt Devlin joins us. Does he think we'll actually finish an NBA season? We'll ask Matty, and we'll actually have Charles Barkley on this very thing, McAuliffe. We'll play you that audio coming up momentarily. He's got an interesting take. Very quiet-ish day in the NHL, which would mean real work's getting done. Am I wrong, Tim? Am I wrong?
Whenever it's quiet, it means watch out. We might get breaking news by the end of this show. That's how it usually works out.
Hey, Elliot Friedman and Chris Johnson, hope you didn't make any plans tonight. That's the feeling I'm getting. Not that I hope they work through their plans. I don't wish that on anyone, but this is their wheelhouse. We will talk to Mark Spector of Sportsnet, who will join us to talk about the Edmonton angle from this. Again, as we've been talking about for the last couple of days, the super hub, sounds like, is going to land in Edmonton. Do people in Edmonton really like this? We'll ask Spec. It's been a while since we talked to Spec. He'll join us momentarily. I named it a super hub. Do you like it? I could change it. I threw super hub out there.
I don't like it, but whatever.
It'll be better than the Leafs one, whatever. Also, Dan Shulman will drop by on a day, Tim, where Major League Baseball teams were actually doing things in their own ballpark, sent a sun-drenched scenes across Major League Baseball, unless you were in a dome. We'll talk to Dan Shulman about Spring 2.0, which I'm also renaming. I'm going to call it Spring 2.0, not Summer Camp.
I like that better.
You like that? Okay, we'll go with that. Spring 2.0. And the Jays, Timmy, making some news today as well. So we'll dive into all of that, but happy second Friday to you.
Well, it's not only second Friday. Hold on. You're burying the lead here. This is also, for Sid Sixero, last day before vacation, Sid. Imagine if you will, for a moment, Sid Sixero, this whole pandemic thing never happened. The world is your oyster. And this is your Friday before vacation. Where would you be going? Where is the dream that once this thing passes, we're allowed to get on planes and do the things that we used to do? Although I always wipe down my plane seat anyway. That won't change for me.
Are you serious? You always wiped it down?
Always wiped down. And you know why? Because my wife was a flight attendant. So she's seen what people do.
Yeah, that's fair.
On those chairs, every time my family sat down on those chairs, there was a moist towelette at least, and usually a disinfectant wipe going across much of that seat and all of the tray table.
See, that's a proper way to strategize going onto a plane. I think it makes a lot of sense. Again, your wife worked in the industry. I did not. I'll say this, Tim. The more I think about it, myself in one seat over an 8-hour flight, say to Europe, there's nothing.
You
that
don't
want
to know
seat.
What happens in
there's
that seat.
There's nothing that was on that seat that was going to do me any more damages out than I was going to do the chair. Nothing. Absolute. And for the record, Tim, by the way, we were going to go to Barcelona. That was the plan this summer.
Would you call it Barcelona?
By the end of the trip.
Yes.
I'd just be saying Paya Barcelona. Paya Barcelona. That's all I'd be saying. And I would attempt to figure out if I could get into Camp Nou before they threw me out. Before someone realized I might be the messy guy.
Right. I didn't even think of it. I was like, you could just take a tour. What are you talking about? Oh yeah.
I don't know.
Messy fraud guy.
That thing did travel. And I had one family member say to me, are you cool with going to Barcelona? I go, what are you talking about? And they're like, the thing with DJ. And I'm like,
fraud.
I mean, like, what happens? I don't know. Listen, as much as I think Messi is a
fraud,
I do want to see Camp Nou. I do want to walk into like 90,000 seats. I want to soak that in at some point in my life.
And it wasn't Barcelona that you were ripping. You were saying that his career with club was a little different than career
but
with they, country.
But to Barcelona,
nuance.
Nuance. As it's written on the field in Barcelona, Tim, more than a club. You just can't say ish about Barcelona and get away with it. So that would have been an interesting moment. But I'm going to Barcelona. Very soon. I'm hopeful. I'm going to Barcelona soon.
I would love if they actually recognized you in Barcelona and you weren't overstating your own importance.
No, but you know what? I'll double down on the importance. They wouldn't recognize me. I lost too much weight. I look totally different guy, McAllen. Totally different guy.
Take that.
But yeah, I would have gone to Barcelona. I will take that for data. Barcelona trip is definitely in the work. Would you have gone anywhere this summer? Or done stuff around the house?
We were talking about Crete, actually.
Woo!
Yeah. So if I was actually watching some of those, like my mind-numbing, I'll go to Home and Garden TV and watch like Mediterranean Life or Mexico or like the Caribbean Life, like those things where they go shopping for houses in exotic places. And I was watching one for Malta, and I got a little excited. It's a little too expensive in Malta for my liking.
Is it really? It's expensive in Malta, really?
Yeah.
Because we were looking at places in San Miguel not that long ago. My mom's from San Miguel in Portugal. Tim,
Portugal's affordable. Still a little bit, yeah.
Like, but the views, man. Like, now the weather changes every... You think the weather changes in Southern Ontario quick. Like, you're on an island, so good luck.
Yeah.
But the properties and what you're overlooking, staggering for what they were charging. Yeah. Absolutely staggering. The Airbnbs were unbelievable. I don't know why I'm doing a tourism commercial for San Miguel,
San Miguel. Crete's like that too.
I'm not surprised at all. Not surprised at all.
Let's get on to the news of the day. Here are the top stories trending at this hour. Washington's NFL team announced today that they will undergo a, quote, thorough review of the team's name, which we decided long ago didn't have a spot on this show. Owner Dan Snyder has been undergoing some pressure. A lot of pressure.
I'd say, yes.
Some pressure to change the name from Native American leaders to corporate sponsors, the general public, the ongoing civil rights movement. But FedEx and Nike changed the game, among others, making requests of the team to make the change on their name. The owner announced that they would have a, quote, again, thorough review of the team's name. Will they actually go through and change the name Sid Sixero?
Every time I hear...
Not the name Sid Sixero.
No, I...
The Washingtons.
I was never asked to change my name. I'm actually happy no one asked me to change my name, because I would have had big issues with that. Usually when I hear internal review, Tim, that's code for we're going to wait you out. Honestly. We are going to act like we're doing something now, but the second your head turns in 4 months, 5 months, maybe longer, we're going to send out a quick release at 4:45 Eastern on a Friday that says after our internal review, we're going to keep the name.
Well, Washington's done that before.
Plenty of times. Plenty of times.
So, yes.
But Tim, this is what I think is different.
Okay.
The money.
Yeah.
The money. Like, what was it, 87 investment firms worth over $600 billion basically leaned on Nike and FedEx to get this done? Tim, you have never, and the money is there. You have politicians in the District of Columbia, and for people who don't know, for years, Tim and I grew up watching the Washingtons play at a place called RFK in D.C. That was their home forever. Then Dan Snyder moved him to Maryland. Got a sweetheart deal there. Dan Snyder wants to move back into D.C. and build on that old land. You have the House Representative of D.C. and the Deputy Mayor of D.C. telling Dan Snyder, you are not getting that land unless you change this incredibly racist name. So he is getting attacked here on multiple fronts. And I don't know how he makes it through the next couple of weeks financially and politically if he wants to keep his organization in one piece, if he doesn't change the name finally. To what? I have no idea. That's a whole nother discussion. But, Tim, I think it's going to happen. And I never thought I'd say that with Dan Snyder, one of the worst people ever. But I think he's going to do it.
Who once said he'll never change the name? Never.
Yeah.
Put it in caps. FedEx, who owns the naming rights to the stadium, by the way, until 2025, asked the team to change the name. Nike removed all Washington gear from its online store. And for those that want to play the, this is the politically correct on this one again, just understand, as I did, and it's fair to understand, evolve, and learn, those things happen, and we should all strive for that. Esquire story by Baxter Holmes, who explained the team name is not the hue of skin, which is probably enough, but the name of the team was derived from an 18th century bounty on the heads of the indigenous people of New England, where they were literally paid money for the bloodied crown from the head of a butchered Native American. Try explaining that one off. Sid and I read the story. We decided enough was enough. Love, peace, and hair grease. I think this one's a little bit different when you think about it in that term and what that is. Washington Red Tails is being floated out there. Might be just too forward-thinking for many. But as I've always said, let's take care of Washington and move on, and they will. Sid, they are going to move on. In fact, in Canada, the Edmonton Eskimos released a statement saying that they have reached out to the Inuit people of northern Canada several months ago, and that there was, quote, no consensus among the Inuit people and considerable support for the Eskimos' name. Is this one different? Will they be changed? And by no means, just anyone thinking that that alleviates any pressure on Edmonton to change their name. Lack of consensus doesn't mean that everyone is good with it.
It's the complete opposite of that.
Right.
It means there are people who find it racist. And now I don't know what the numbers are in terms of the Eskimos and what they deem complete consensus. But right. There are people in their discussions, that's the first thing, that do find this offensive. Second, Tim, in the statement the Eskimos put out today, the fact that they use the word Inuit and not just Eskimos the whole time means they know it's kind of wrong. Doesn't it? They are aware this is very dicey, right? Like they are.
Oh yeah, well they released the statement. They've done. If you do the research, you know that you might
completely
be offending some people.
So I encourage Edmonton to find a consensus.
You're right.
And by go ahead.
No. However, go ahead.
However you find that consensus, because in your own statement, you didn't use the word that we're talking about replacing all the time. Why? Because you know it's wrong. So just replace the damn thing. By the way, a name is very important for your organization, but in CFL circles, you're going to have bigger issues or equal issues. This league might not be here. So while you're here, why don't you do something right and stop offending a certain portion of our population with something that's completely unnecessary and a nickname? That's it. Let's change it.
P.S. When you change it, Rough Riders is taken. Not surprisingly, Major
Wrong.
League Baseball.
I want Rough Riders.
You
just that's a great idea. Third time's a charm. Third Rough Riders. Let's go.
Major League Baseball officially announced the cancellation of this year's All-Star Game today. The Dodgers will host in 2022 instead. Atlanta remains the host for 2021. Meanwhile, training camps open across the league. But game's biggest star, Mike Trout, expressed concern about taking part in the season today. Trout, who, if you don't know, his wife is pregnant with their first child due in early August, said the following.
Honestly, still don't feel comfortable. You know, obviously with the baby coming, there's a lot of stuff going through my mind right now, my wife's mind, my family, just trying to be the safest and most cautious way to get through a season. you know, obviously I don't want to test positive and I don't want to bring it back to my wife. You know, we've thought hard about all this, you know, still thinking about all this. It's a tough time, tough situation we're in, everybody's in. And, you know, everybody's got a responsibility in this clubhouse to, you know, social distance, stay inside, wear a mask, and, you know, keep everybody safe. It's just a, you know, I think it's a tough situation for everybody. I talked to a lot of guys across the league, and they're texting me a lot. I'm not going to name any names, but just, you know, it's just a crazy – they're all thinking the same thing. Is this going to work? We just got to stay safe and obviously be as cautious as we can.
You could tell how much Mike Trout has thought about this. How damaging would it be for Major League Baseball if their best player opts out? And how many more do you think will follow if their best player opts out?
Tim, this is what I'm seeing so far from the NHL and the NBA. And aside from Victor Oladipo of the Pacers today saying he's not showing up, and that's also because of his own health reasons, the rupturing the tendon in his knee. There's a lot going on with Victor Oladipo and the Pacers.
Right.
The top guys from the National Hockey League and the NBA right now, to the best of our knowledge, are not flinching about this. They are going. Wherever it is for the NHL, those stars are going to go. We haven't heard anything about a star saying no to Orlando. This is really interesting to me because Mike Trout tweeted not that long ago, tell me where. Tell me when, tell me where. Now he shows up to camp, a guy who in the past has been criticized for kind of just doing his own thing as the biggest name in the sport or one of the most recognizable faces in the sport. And even as he shows up, he's hedging. I don't blame him for hedging, but I think this also speaks to, Tim, how pissed off the players are at ownership. I think he knew exactly what he was doing here. And Artie Moreno is a guy who spends a lot of money with the Angels. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where, I mean, I know where the relationship is. This was an awful negotiation. For your best player to show up to camp the first day and say, I don't know if I'm staying. That's unbelievable. I think that's more a window into the relationship with the owners and the players than his own personal situation. We all know his personal situation. His wife's due soon. We get it. But I think there's more to play here. And that, to me, is a staggering quote because you're not hearing that from NBA guys and you're not hearing that from NHL guys, and that really surprised me.
We've got to get through a lot here in 3 minutes, but I wonder if it makes him feel better to hear just 38 positive tests, 31 by players from Major League Baseball, in about 3,200 tests. So that's just 1.2%. Now, Joe Maddon and others in and around the league have said, Joe Maddon said 9 or 10 Angels couldn't take part in workouts today, couldn't say if they tested positive. Some of them, they're just waiting for tests back. You heard that a lot across Major League Baseball. So you know, we wonder if the numbers will move up, move down. But that's a good first number for baseball at 1.2%. Speaking of stars whose wives are pregnant, the Celtics' Gordon Hayward, his wife, like Trout's, is pregnant. They're due in September, and he says he will leave the bubble to be there. And remember, it's a 10-day quarantine if you want to return. But according to Charles Barkley, there might not even be a bubble to return to. Here's what Chuck had to say on his podcast with Ernie Johnson called The Steam Room. He said the following.
This pains me to say, because I love my players, obviously. I love my job at TNT, and obviously I got a great deal of respect and admiration from Adam Silver. I don't think we got any chance of finishing this thing. The way this thing is spiking, and obviously Florida is the worst spot in the world right now, and we're taking 22 NBA teams to the hot spot. We're taking the WNBA. MLS soccer is going on down there. At some point, we're going to have to put five guys, subs, 10 to 12 guys going to be in close proximity at some point in the next couple weeks. The chances of us going 3 months and not having an outbreak, I just think that's impossible.
Your reaction to Chuck, Sid?
I disagree with him. Now, I know what he's saying. Look, Canada has 104,000 total cases of COVID. The states in the last 2 days have 101,000. I understand where he is. I understand what the state Florida is currently in. But having watched soccer in Europe a little bit here, Tim, go through this, if you get them in the bubble, you can do it. I do have faith. My fear is this moment. The Miami Heat had to shut down their facility today. The Clippers had to shut it down last night. Who knows? Look, these numbers from baseball today are unbelievably good. Hopefully they continue. But there's still a threat. Same with NHL training camps. To me, that's the danger zone. You get them in the bubble, the NBA, I am very confident, will get their season done. I disagree with Chuck a little bit on that.
Here's my worry in sports, in life. We're so inundated with information, we don't know who to believe. And trust me, I get it. Twitter helped us establish a show that has afforded you and I both a pretty good life for ourselves and our family. But I don't want to be on Twitter right now because of this very thing. There is such a thing as too much information. Like, this might be the second reckoning of 2020. We all know what the first reckoning should be. It's equality. If you're not for it, you're on the wrong side of history. The second one might be that we have too much information. There are people that are more inclined to think that Charles Barkley is right than Dr. Anthony Fauci. This is a story. Charles saying that we're not getting this done is a story. And Dr. Anthony Fauci was quoted as saying, I actually have looked at the plan and it's really quite creative in what they're trying to do. I think they might very well be successful with it to create a situation where it is safe as it possibly could be for the players by creating this bubble. Like, I love Chuck. And in 2020, doing a sports show with no sports, you ask some pretty difficult questions of some people who might not be qualified. I did it to Brian Burke. Yesterday. I did it to Brian Burke, and then I realized halfway through the question, wait a second, you're not a doctor. I shouldn't be asking this question. But we hit a wall in society when there are people out there who believe Chuck more than the top infectious disease doctor in the United States of America. And I'm not taking it out of context.
Yeah.
Chuck is talking about the spikes in Florida. Yeah. And who's going to be there? He's not talking about players not wanting to take the risks, which I would listen to him on. Like, that's a whole new kettle of fish. He was just talking about spikes. Like, I'll leave that to the doctors. Like, let's not put that on Chuck.
Chuck puts everything on Chuck.
That's true, too.
Chuck doesn't. I hear you, Tim, but Chuck is not. Chuck puts it all on him. But I'm with you, Tim. Doctors are kind of important. The problem, Tim, is, and I don't want, and I'll make this a very brief note. There are certain doctors in the United States who also are not being allowed to do these types of interviews right now, if we're being honest about it.
Yeah.
So now we're left with the Charles Barkleys of the world, right? Like, Anthony Fauci has to go to the BBC and do an interview. You know why that is, right? Like, he's being clamped down. So
everything is being politicized from both sides.
Unfortunately. Correct.
In the United States, and hopefully in Canada, we don't fall into that same trap.
Yes.
It is a friend of the show Friday, the last Friday, before Sid Sixero leaves on a one-week well-earned vacation. Matty Devlin, Dan Shulman, Mark Spector all stopping by, and I might ask Sid to help the McAuliffe family name our new dog.
What?
That's next. Here on Tim and Sid.
Can't take
Sportsnet,
this pressure, man.
5-9 of the Fan and Sportsnet 360.
How about Sid?
Friend of the show Friday here on Tim and Sid, Mark Spector, Dan Shulman, Matty D in mere moments from now. Josh Robbins wrote in correcting me in the opening segment when I said there is such a thing as too much information. He said too much information or too many opinions. You're probably right on that. And
big difference.
Let me double down on that. Opinion being passed off as information is also something we need to crack down on. In 2020, Joe writes in and says, when my job calls, I got to go to work. Simple as that. End of the day, that's your job. I'm a power line technician. Guess what? Sometimes I don't feel comfortable, but I do it because that's what I do. The only question I would ask Joe, and I actually want a response from this if Joe's still watching and or listening, is if you had the choice and you weren't comfortable, but could still retain your job or a comfortable living, would you go in when you're not comfortable? Like, I think when people write that, I completely understand it. But we're all afforded different luxuries in life. And if you were afforded the same luxury as a baseball player where you know you could go back and make your millions, would you have the same opinion? Like, I always find if you change the situation, sometimes the answers change. And I'm curious.
It's very true. Matt Devlin joins us into this conversation because, I'm in my house here. You and I have been allowed to work from home. Like, at least we have this. And like, Tim, I'm just going back to that week in March where everyone was freaking out, and I'm very thankful we were given that luxury. And I don't know what I would do if I was told you got to go in, because so many people around this country have had to do that, and God bless all of them. Matty Devlin joining us. Matty, would you go to Florida if you were told to go to Florida? Would you be comfortable going to Florida?
I would go. Comfortable. Because I think there's been a lot of conversation as to, we will do, more than likely 99.9%. We will be calling games off of a TV monitor from Toronto, which adds its own level of complexities. But, the national broadcasters in the U.S., ESPN and TNT, are going into the bubble. And there's, certain sort of protocol with that where they're going to be calling the games from. More than likely, it's going to be on a concourse level, right? You're going to be removed from the floor. My understanding is they may have sideline reporters. There's going to be all sorts of protocol with respect to that.
So like a Wizards game, like your perch, like you're at a Wizards game, Matty? Is that what you're telling me? That's what's going to
happen. I think exactly. Wizards, Philadelphia, Houston, Charlotte, now San Francisco, the list goes on and on. But Utah, in fact, I will say this, that given everything that's going on, and, with a family here in Toronto, the ability to stay here and call games off of a monitor is comforting. I'm not going to lie about that, right? It's comforting, just like
for both
of you, to be able to work from home. Now, for us, I think it'd be really fun for me. I'm in my office right now. It'd be really fun for me to stay here in my office and call a game. I think the technology one day may be there. But from calling a game, and Tim and Sid, you guys know this, and I know later on you'll have Dan Shulman on, there's just a feel that you get when you're there, right? That just, I think, adds another level to a broadcast. And so now we are where we are, and it's understandable. It's understandable. 37 people are allowed into the bubble per team. And it's understandable. And you have to be, I think the word fluid, right? You have to be fluid during these times because everything changes, moment by moment.
Agreed. Matty D joining us here on Tim and Sid. We were talking about Charles Barkley's comments and his podcast saying, I don't think we got a chance of finishing this thing. Now, I know you're not a doctor, so I won't ask you the infectious disease question. But I think it's easier for Chuck to say that given the position he is. The question is it a luxury Chuck has to be able to say something like that players can't afford? Is it wisdom from a dude that's been there for a lot? Or is it both?
Well, I think it's, why we love Chuck, and you guys have met him. You've been with them. When we were in Atlanta, the crew was out with Charles, my Canadian friends, he's somebody that just, he says what he wants to say, and that's why we love him. And so, he has every right to that opinion, and I could see why when you look at the numbers and you see what's happening, why there may be a level of doubt. And he expressed that, and that's fine. I think, during all these times, I think everybody has a level of doubt, right? You mentioned earlier, Miami shut down. You have Clippers shut down. Look, I thought we were heading, towards you know, early on, I was extremely concerned. And then, you know, things started, okay, you know, things going okay. All of a sudden, Tampa Bay Lightning, they shut down. And then I'm like, okay, right? Yeah. Everybody's coming back. Things are starting to unfold a little bit. And so the bubble works if everybody, you know, stays within the bubble and follows the protocol. But because we know the level of infection, we know obviously from everything that we read and we hear, you know, how this is transmitted, you know, there are going to be players, and it's okay, it's understandable, that decide, you know what, like Mike Trout, I don't know. You know, Gordon Hayward, you know, we're expecting our fourth child. There's a protocol in place when he leaves the bubble, right, when he comes back. And given this, I think we all understand, right? And you both brought up an excellent point. You know, so, you know, as a fan of yours said, like, well, I go into work. It's the choice, right? And the NBA, you know, is giving players that choice. And the choice of not going in means that you won't get paid, right? But as we know, their salaries are such that some of them, you know, have that ability to say, okay, you know, I think I'm going to sit this one out, and that's okay. I think both are okay. It's okay to say, hey, we're going in, and it's okay to say, hey, you know what, given everything going on in the world, I'm deciding to pull back from that.
All right, once they go in, Matt, from the folks that you're talking to, how will the game be impacted most in the bubble? Will it be the schedule and how quickly guys will have to recover and how deep teams might have an advantage here, or at least teams that play more than their best five all the time? Is it the lack of a crowd? Like, what do you think will be the biggest impact on the in-the-bubble games?
Well, number one is going to be who shows up, quote-unquote, healthy. What roster shows up? We already know Brooklyn has two players that are not going to go in, Spencer Dinwiddie, right, and DeAndre Jordan, because they both, you know, decided not to enter. And so I think that that's, you know, certainly going to be a part of it. And then also another piece of this from the physical aspect of it is your training right now. Some have had a little bit more exposure to training than others, and now you're heading into the bubble. And now all of a sudden you have eight games to get ready for the postseason. And really it's going to rely or not rely, but really it's going to depend upon, you know, the teams that are going to be able to be focused, to be driven defensively, and there may not be much noise, but to block out the lack of noise, right?
Yeah.
That the environment's going to be different. It's not even going to be like Summer League. You know, for those that have had the opportunity to go to Summer League in Vegas.
Summer League's a riot. It's fantastic. Summer League's amazing.
I love it. It's like people, you know, I remember in the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s, people talked about spring training like that, right? Where, you know, you have access to players. It's close. Everybody's right there. And Vegas is great. It's not even going to be that. Time of games will be. So I think it's going to be a multitude of things. However, I think it begins with health. Who's healthy and how healthy do you stay?
Matt Devlin, play-by-play voice of the Raptors here on Tim and Sid. Matty, before we let you go, it was Canada Day this week. And I always enjoy bringing up Canada Day with you because your life has taken you on some twists and turns here that's brought you into this moment where you become such a part of the sporting conscious here, specifically obviously with Raptor fans, but with a lot of sports fans across the country. And I know you're officially a citizen. What does Canada Day mean to Matty Devlin and the Devlins?
Well, it's a... You know, I get goosebumps about it because I remember the induction day, May 31st, between Game 1 and Game 2 of the NBA Finals. The process of getting there, obviously, was first a work permit, which I was fortunate enough to get, and then becoming a permanent resident, and then meeting the criteria to become a citizen and taking a test. That was during the Eastern Conference Finals, my wife and I did. And then getting sworn in and taking the oath. And what stays with me from that day is there were 104 new Canadians in that room representing 28 different countries. And everyone there, as I looked around that room and I was sitting next to a young gentleman, everybody, as I thought, everybody's got a story that brought them here, right? Just maybe like your parents or your grandparents and what this great country offers. It was truly moving and emotional. Looking around that room and just thinking about, you know, people coming here as new Canadians. And it was a proud day. And, you know, my family and I have been here for going on 12 years. It's the longest place that I've ever lived in my life. You know, my wife and I love it. My kids have been raised here. And so it means a lot. It was our second official Canada Day. And we have a lot of fun with it. And we fly the Canadian flag out front of the house. And, you know, we're thankful to, you know, we're thankful to live here. We really are.
And we're thankful you're here and you're here on the show. Always great catching up with you. And thanks for the inspiring message in the wonderful getup in front of the great grill yesterday. We appreciate it.
The Weber grill with the great keg rub that you put on. You got to put the keg rub on. And you get that thing going. And I'll tell you what, that grill, how good is that grill?
The grill's good.
My dad loves it. My dad loves it.
Today, in fact, you know what I did? I got just regular burgers, and then I put the keg rub on the burgers, and now I got keg rub burgers.
I go between the Barbarian's rub and the keg rub. I don't know which one's better, but they're both scrumptralescent once it hits
you. You know
lips.
What? They're both very different, and, you know, it's interesting. I have one day we'll do the keg rub. Sometimes we'll do the Barbarian. The other thing that I love to do on the grill is the fish. You guys, you know, get a little salmon.
What you do is you do a tin foil boat.
You put the salmon in there. You get a little bit of olive oil. You get some, you know, lemons, boom, you put it on there. It is off the charts. Halibut, too, by the way.
Hell
of a halibut. Yeah, by the way, guys, my favorite barbecue thing is when I go to someone else's house and they do it for me.
Well, when this is all over, okay, when this is all over, you know, who knows when that'll be. Yeah. Come on over. Come on over.
Don't threaten me, Devlin. Don't threaten me. I will come over. I will bring over the cheapest beer possible, and we'll have a great time. I'm a good guest that way. I bring over just the worst stuff.
Well, that's okay. You know what? I've known many of people. I have many friends just like you, right? They bring over the cheap stuff because they know nobody's going to ever drink it. It's just going to be there for the next time that they come back.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
All right, we got to go, Matty. Great catching up with you. Happy Canada Day. Happy July 4th, all that stuff.
Best. You guys are the best, all right? Happy Canada Day, and congrats on 5. Here's to 5 more.
Cheers. Thanks, brother.
There is Matty D on what is a Friend of the Show Friday. Dan Shulman, Mark Spector, and maybe Sixero weighs in on what we name the McAuliffe family dog.
This is a lot of
next
pressure, man.
On Tim and Sid. It's not Sid. Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360. As Rebecca Grant once said, it's Friday. Dan Shulman, Mark Spector going to join us here on the show.
I didn't know what her last name was until this moment.
Rebecca Black. I screwed it up. How did you know that, Dylan?
Because Dylan's the Everyone has that guy they work with that's a little weird that knows everything. Dylan Brown is our guy from Sportsnet 590, The Fan, who's a little off, and we love him. He's a hard worker, but he knows everything like that.
I'm kind of glad I got that wrong.
Yeah, it's a badge of honor. It's a badge of honor.
As Rebecca Black once said, it's Friday, and this is the last day before a Sixero vacation. In fact, I won't see him for 2 weeks because as soon as he comes back from his vacation, I head out on a week's vacation, and we've both been going pretty hard for the last couple months, so a well-deserved vacation.
I did the math, McAuliffe. When you and I come back in total in a couple of weeks, we're going to get ready for, Lord willing, baseball that week.
Yeah.
That's a baseball preview week if everything stays the way it is. And again, we'll get into the numbers again with Dan Shulman coming up in the
and
next
basketball.
Segment. And basketball. But, I mean, the amount of positive tests that came out in over 3,000 for Major League Baseball in this first round, holy cow, that was a low number. I was not expecting that number.
Yeah, so a lot of people were expecting it to be higher than 1.2%. Yeah,
definitely.
So Sixero and I won't talk probably for 2 weeks, depending on what transpires over those 2 weeks. And as some people know, the McAuliffe family, a dog-oriented family, we have been for a long time. And we lost our dog, Fife, of 14 years in February. And, yeah, rest in peace, Fife Dog.
Fife Dog.
Two rest in peace, Fife Dogs. And we decided last week that we were getting a new dog. We pick up the new dog next weekend. So I won't see you. Huge. We have settled on three names for our male dog. They are as follows.
Write them down.
Barkley. Charlie or Snoop.
All right, Barkley, I like that. His dog's Bark. Sorry, and we've established it's a male dog.
Yeah, male dog.
All right, male dog. Barkley is cute. Charlie's got to be one of the more common dog names out there, right? Like, there's a lot of Charlies, no? I feel like there's a lot of Charlies.
My daughter's come up with Charlie because she's naming it after her favorite TikToker.
Okay, well, that'll last a week, and she'll get a new TikToker. And then, like, don't lock yourself into the, like, that's a terrible reason to call the dog Charlie. Snoop, again, goes in line with Tim's affinity with both hip-hop acts, classic legendary hip-hop acts, and so that would continue a theme.
Right,
that
Fife Dog.
Definitely Fife Dog, and then into Snoop. Dog. And then maybe DMX down the line, I'm not sure, but a rough rider of some sort. But I do have some other suggestions. So Sid is completely off the table. Sid is completely off. Like, I feel like there should be a poll. Should Sid be offended that Sid is not on the table for Tim's dog's name?
Would it not be creepy if I named my dog Sid? Like, for real?
You're right. I don't want.
Do you like the name Sid?
No. I don't want to do that.
Not at all was the answer. Did you hear that?
When is she getting her own show? Put her on YouTube, and you would have to work another day of your life. She's gonna get
the next
subscribers
Charlie.
Left and right. All right, I'm gonna throw some names at you. All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'll yell them out. Stay here, Lay.
Okay.
All right.
Say it. So you have to repeat what.
Yeah, I'll
say.
Repeat them. Yeah, yeah.
Pickles.
Sorry, one more time.
Pickles.
Pickles. Kinda.
Okay. All right.
All
right.
You like Vince. Pickles?
How about Vince?
Vince. Vinegar. No, not
say vinegar. She's being very difficult.
Vince.
She's already an on-air host. She's already an on-air talent.
No, you got to know on the Vince.
All right. Nino Positano.
Nino Positano. No.
By the way, Nino Positano is Kate McKinnon's cat from SNL. Her cat's name is Nino Positano. It's the greatest pet name I have ever heard in my life. Nino Positano. All right. And finally.
You ever been to Positano?
No, I've never been to Positano.
You should go. It's a wonderful, beautiful place.
Finally. Ken Reed.
Lay, what about Ken Reed?
No.
You want to do a TikTok for Sid?
Yeah. I don't know the tick-a-tock.
Ian writes in and says, the name of the McAuliffe family dog should be blank. Hashtag match game. And then how about Chuck?
Chuck's all right. Oh, I sense another match game trending high, McAuliffe. I think it's a good idea. we'll talk more about Tim's dog that's coming soon. Dan Shulman, Mark Spector, baseball, hockey. It's a full hour coming up. Tim and Sid, thanks for being with us.
Time for Tim and Sid. It's time for real sports talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. This Friday edition of Tim and Sid, this one day until Sexero vacation edition of Tim and Sid, has 1 hour remaining. If you missed the first hour on Sportsnet 360 or Sportsnet 590 The Fan, go get it on Rogers Ignite. Just pick up your controller, push the middle button, and say Tim and Sid. Got it good, and since you understood. Dan Shulman, Mark Spector, still joining us in this Friend of the Show Friday, and by the end of it.
Sorry, I hate to interrupt. That middle button on the Rogers Ignite controller is amazing, but also ruining my life. I've forgotten how to search for anything. I just say anything into it, and 9.5 times out of 10, it will pop up. It's that easy.
I was. My dad doesn't have the new Rogers Ignite, and I was teaching my dad. I got a new revelation for the McAuliffe backyard, which is a backyard TV.
Oh, and you just take the Ignite right outside the backyard and just hook that thing up, and you are flying.
So unbelievably good. Anyways.
Sorry, you bought an outdoor TV, or you have a TV that you easily just bring outside?
That's exactly what I do. I have the Rogers Ignite set up, and because it is internet-based, it is so easy to just bring inside and bring outside that I now have an outdoor TV, and TVs are so affordable these days. Like I picked up a 42-inch TV for $249. I bring it out in the backyard, ho-hum, I live my life out there, I love it, except for when I come down in the basement and do a TV show, 2020. Anywho.
It's the same thing.
I was teaching my dad how to get the golf, and he's like, what do I do? I go, you just push the middle button and say golf, and he's like, it can't be that easy. I said, do it. He did it, it popped up, bingo, bango, bongo, my dad now knows how to use Ignite.
It is that easy. Does Tim McAuliffe float in the pool while watching Ignite on his new TV?
No, that's not just the way the setup is in my backyard. That's not possible.
Doesn't work. Okay.
No. Although I could.
Hold on.
I could.
I'm remembering your backyard. It's kind of possible. The problem is the shadows and the light and all that stuff. Like that gets a little tricky when there's a ton of sun. But it's not impossible. Like your pool is out there. Like it's kind of away from your sliding doors.
I'm really talking about my pool on national TV.
I believe you can lie in your pool and watch golf this weekend. I believe you can do that.
I for you and the sake of your vacation, I will attempt to watch golf from a floaty in my pool.
My vacation will be ruined if you don't do this. My vacation will be ruined.
I will send out a picture of toes, TV, and floaties just for Sid Sexero.
the dog issue is taking over here, Tim. I don't know. Like, obviously, you're seeing what I'm seeing. The naming of your dog has just taken over at Tim and Sid on Twitter.
Dan Ruiz writes in and says, and this is OG Tim and Citizen like tweet. Am I the only one who understood Sid's "Can we confirm it's a male?" question? Hashtag Bella. Hashtag Bellow, hashtag Tim and Sid. Wow. Did you even know you did that?
I didn't even realize I did that. But the story that's being referred to there, and now that we're on like all the mains, I feel like this is a great place to tell it on Sportsnet. Mm-hmm. I had a cat back in the day named Bella, because we took a look one day, and we didn't see much down there. So... like, I didn't look for, like, a long time. I wasn't weird about it, but, like, we looked. And it looks like a female cat to me. So we take the cat in just to, because it was dirty, and so you're gonna take the cat to the vet. And we go back to pick the cat. We go back to pick the cat up.
Yeah.
And the vet goes, he's ready to go home. I say, you mean she's ready to go home? And the vet's like, no, he's ready to go home. And I'm like, no, that's a female cat. That's a female cat. And the vet looks me dead in the eye and says, no, it's a male. He just has really small balls. That was not the perfect afternoon. So we learned a few things about our cat. So it went from Bella to Bello, and Bello just ate for the rest of his life, and it was just really wasn't productive in society. But that's the story that I have about our cat. And thankfully, Dan Shulman, I'm told, heard the end of that story. So that's a highlight of my career, that Dan Shulman heard.
I wonder if
I came in at the perfect moment from the sounds of it. So, but Sid, I'm going to make you feel better here. Way back a zillion years ago, I had a cat, and much the same story. No, we got a female cat because we got two, and we wanted two female cats. And the vet said, no, one of these is a boy, and said the exact same thing. But then at the next appointment, reversed course and said, actually, it's a female. I was wrong. So
what? What? You had a bad vet. No,
wrong
you
vet.
Run from that vet. You got to get the hell away from that vet.
That's how I'm remembering it, but I spent a lot of time outside today and it was hot, so maybe I'm hallucinating the whole thing. But in the end, we went back to females. So don't get all hung up on the Bello just now. You might be back to Bella in a couple of weeks.
And hopefully for both of you, it doesn't run in the family. Dan Shulman,
you just couldn't resist. Couldn't help.
You know what, Dan? He doesn't
just for
get
Sixero's
us.
Face,
he doesn't get us. By the way, Dan, before we move on from pets, because we're on this because McAuliffe's getting a dog in the next week or 10 days, Tim, something like that. He's getting a dog very soon.
8 days from now.
8 days from now, Tim's getting a new dog.
We had a golden retriever poodle mix, and we're sticking with the same breed.
Okay, so you know what's funny? So Tim's one of these guys who doesn't feel proud saying a golden doodle. He can't say doodle. So he's embarrassed to say he's getting a doodle. So he says, I'm getting a golden retriever poodle mix.
You know what I'm embarrassed of, Shulman, actually, is that so we lost our dog in February. He was 14. And we got the poodle mix because I had a poodle mix when I was a kid. But when we got Fife Diggy, there wasn't like a trend and everyone had this golden doodle and they named it with this name golden doodle. And there was no like emasculating guys by saying doodle because it was just a golden retriever poodle mix. And this was like, so now like almost 15 years ago, but now because everyone has them, they're hypoallergenic. Yes. That's what I was searching for. Now everyone's got them, and it's like this trendy dog that's a doodle, but we just called him Fife. There was no doodle or fancy nickname when we got him.
So he's looking for a name.
I've had a doodle, and I'm comfortable saying I've had a doodle. that doodle has passed away a couple of years ago. They're wonderful dogs. They're absolutely great dogs. I currently have a chocolate lab who is a nut, like an absolute lunatic, and is aging me by the second. She's wonderful, but oh my God, like a pandemic with a chocolate lab, like home all the time with a chocolate lab is a recipe for disaster. So keep doodling. You're in better shape than I am.
Right. Like, did it get to the point where the dog learns how to zoom? Like, what type of energy are you talking about? Like that kind of energy?
Yeah.
So, what name?
On the wrong Wi-Fi network again. Where are the AirPods?
The password is rough. What name would you suggest, Dan, if you're naming a dog, the type of dog Tim is getting in about 8 days' time?
Like, what? I think I'm going to back out of this conversation right here before I say something.
That's where you back out of the conversation. We talked about small cat balls.
No, you talked about small cat balls.
Well, you joined me, kind of. You helped me out.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll divert from that. Although at Tim and Sid right now, what should Tim McAuliffe name his dog? This thing's going to get trending in like 20 minutes. So if anyone wants to join in, please feel free.
Tim, who's your favorite athlete of all time?
Ali or Peyton, probably.
All right. You're good to go.
Good place to
Cassius.
Start.
Why not Cassius?
Cassius. The kids are involved in this, Dano. Oh. So we've got, right now, we got the top three are Barkley, Charlie, and Snoop.
Or just go off the
wrong.
Board.
You're fine.
Like, you just go off the board with, like, Mark Eichhorn or something.
Eichhorn.
That's right. Sil Campesano.
Bavacqua. We call it Bavacqua.
Mr. Shulman is joining us. Kurt Bavacqua. That's a great name.
I like the Campesano, too, yeah.
That's good. Dan Shulman joining us. Dan, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm off next week. I'm feeling no pain. But the other reason I'm feeling good here, Dan, is, I mean, you know, we've been seeing the testing numbers come back in a variety of sports. And it was just a few days ago, the NBA had 7% of those players tested come back positive. For those who missed it off the front, and we brought up a few times, Major League Baseball just announced before we came up on air, 3,185 tests for players and staff, 1.2% came back positive. Dan, dare I say, and it's always a dangerous thing to say in a pandemic that you're feeling good about something, but in terms of sports returning, that was not a number for baseball I was expecting. That is the best sporting news I have heard so far, no joke, since before Rudy Gobert hit the court Wednesday, March 11th. How surprised
I would agree.
Were you?
I was pleasantly surprised. So what'd you say, 3,100 and something, and there were 38 positive tests, so just over 1%. If you had said to me they're going to do 3,100 tests, how many do you think are going to be positive? My guess would have been higher than 38. It would have been triple digits, 100 and something, I don't know. But because we think the Blue Jays have four players plus staff. We don't know how many. Now, I don't think it's all the teams. I saw Oakland wasn't in this. A couple of teams, I guess, were late for reporting, but it's most of the teams. And you're right, Sid. I think it's good news because this is before guys are getting into their bubbles and getting into their ballparks and probably being, you know, supervised a little bit more, to be honest, by coaches and other staff members. So listen, this thing is not going to be risk-free. There's no such thing. And who knows how rocky the road is going to get in the next few weeks. But I agree with you. I think this was pretty good news.
Dan Shulman joining us here on Tim and Sid. The offset of this was the sound that we played earlier from Mike Trout, who is still contemplating, and for obvious reasons, his wife is pregnant. But how much would Mike Trout opting out of playing hurt Major League Baseball?
It would hurt. I don't think it doesn't shut it down. I'm not of the opinion that a superstar opting out or a superstar, unfortunately, if it happens, getting sick is going to stop the season. But if a trickle becomes a flood, if other guys opt out and now you've got 5, 10, 15, 20 star players, then I think you've got an issue. I don't think we're going to have that because I think if we were going to have that, guys, I think we'd know more about it by now. I think we've had, what, five or six players who have opted out. And, like, teams, the other 29 teams are already in camp, and the Blue Jays basically are. They're just doing their what they have to do in Dunedin before they come north. So I think we'd know if a lot of players were going to opt out. I think what stops the season is either, like, you know, half of a team getting sick and then they just can't put a team on the field with any integrity. Or, to me, the worst case scenario is if somebody gets really sick, like if somebody winds up in an ICU. I think that is the greatest risk of all. And, you just hope that doesn't happen. But we've got some older coaches and older managers, and you never know. Again, it's not risk-free, but they're trying like hell, and hopefully they can minimize the risk as much as possible.
Dan Shulman here on Tim and Sid. Dan, I want to talk about just kind of where the Jays are at as a group, because these starts have not been created obviously equal. I want to get into that in a second, but Austin Martin, fifth overall pick from last month, the Jays have signed him out of Vanderbilt. A couple things at play here. A Boris guy signing with the Jays is always makes me smile. But in terms of getting it done this quickly, Dan, and other top picks have been signed as well, is it out of the realm of possibility that Austin Martin might play a major league game over the next couple months?
I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's highly unlikely. If their outfield situation is muddled and a couple of guys get hurt or somebody tests positive and they need an outfielder, you never know. Like, they're not loaded in the minor leagues with outfield prospects. Clearly, they're keeping a spot for him on the 60-man pool. So I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. Because he is a college kid, so he's, what, 21? I think he's 21 years old. It's not like, you know, they sign Vladdy at 16 or they draft Groshans at a high school at 18. This guy's 21. So I would say pretty unlikely. Like, if he makes it, I would assume things have gone wrong in the health department for the Blue Jays. Because it's not like we can say, well, he's putting up numbers in the minors. There's no minors. They're just going to be, you know, doing intra-squad games and whatever they're going to be doing where the extra players are. So unlikely, but not impossible.
I know this is a tough question to ask because we have no idea what this season will entail, but the Jays getting the slow start because of the situation in Dunedin and trying to get north of the border, I mean, is that easily rectifiable?
I think so. I mean, let's say they fly up here. Let's say Monday is their first workout. Other teams kind of today felt like the first full day. So they're 3 days behind. 3 days behind with 3 weeks to go, I think, is manageable. You know, if it was a week to 10 days behind, or if this issue happened later on in spring training or summer camp, whatever you want to call it, then I think it would be an issue. But I don't think so. But like you said, Tim, we're not going to know until things get going. Like, some guys might have stayed in great shape and some guys not. The hitters could be way behind, because they, you know, they've seen live pitching and BP from their own teammates, but they haven't really played games. Some teams might play two or three games, but I think that'll be unusual. I'm not sure what baseball is going to look like that first week or two. Like, it could be a little bit messy. And 2 weeks is a quarter of the season. Like, who knows what we're going to see? But again, if you subscribe to the theory that any baseball is better than no baseball, and you take what you can get given the situation, then, you know, I think a lot of people will just appreciate having it. But I think you're right. Like, there are so many unknowns, and what the baseball is going to look like is actually kind of far down the list.
Dan Shulman here on Tim and Sid. Forgive me, Tim. You got to follow?
I did the previous question, but I'm going to take this opportunity to ask one anyway. We've seen, this is fun for me. Like, we've seen some of the new rules set in place because of COVID, some because of the schedule, things like extra innings begin with a man on second base, no spitting, no getting within 6 feet of an umpire, even when arguing, or you'll be tossed. Three batter rule, universal DH. Which one do you like the most, or better yet, is there one they should have installed for this
that they've expanded the rosters. I think that was kind of a no-brainer given the situation. I actually thought they wouldn't cut it down as much and as quickly as they did. I thought we might play with expanded rosters the whole season, but they're cutting it down. I really, 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 really wish the players and owners had come to a deal, because I think this would have been a great year for an expanded playoff, you know, 14 or 16 as opposed to 10. That didn't happen. I'm a weirdo in that I grew up in an American League city, but I prefer the National League style of play. I wish there was no such thing as a DH, but I do agree that this year having a DH in both leagues is the smart thing to do, and it may be forever now. Like, we may never see pitchers hit again. I don't love the runner at second base, and now it doesn't really bother me. Like, my attitude, I don't know about you guys, my attitude is, like I said before, hey, it's a pandemic. Let's take what we can get. Let's not get too caught up in being a purist or, you know, drawing a line in the sand. So, like, I'm fine with it, but I would rather actually see them say, after 12 innings, it's a tie. You know, you just stop. Like, I don't know what the big problem is with that. But I'm curious about the runner at second, but I'm just worried it'll be bunt, intentional walk, and that's, like, not exciting to me. But, again, it's fine. We'll you know, wait and see how it plays out. I think it's going to be funny because I think people are not funny, but it'll be something to watch. People are going to forget about distancing, I think, at times. Visits to the mound, coaches coming over and wanting to talk to base runners and things like that. And like, how do you enforce that? You don't want to penalize people. You just got to say, hey, Pete, you know, Pete Walker gets too close to a pitcher. Pete, back off. And, you know, pitching coaches going out with masks on and things like that. Like, it's a whole new world. So I give baseball credit. I think I didn't read that whole 113 pages or whatever it is, but I think they've tried to think of everything they can think of. And I think the weirdest part will be seeing players sit in the stands, to be honest with you, because they can't all fit in the dugout. So you'll just have guys sitting probably with water bottles or Gatorade sitting in the stands in 90-degree heat watching a ball game like the rest of us used to do.
Yeah.
Dan, I'm seeing stuff I saw today at Fenway, because of the overflow, Alex Verdugo, who they got in the Mookie Betts deal, and some other guys, their lockers are now literally in private suites.
Yeah, I saw that.
They have set, it's amazing. Like, and the Coors Light's right there. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah,
like,
it a little fridge.
It all works out. Dan, in terms of fans, Premier Doug Ford in Ontario again reiterated today, fans this calendar year at any sporting event in Toronto, it's not happening. But that's one of 30 cities. And Jeff Samardzija of the Giants was asked about what it would be like today playing in front of zero fans. Samardzija's quote was, "I wouldn't put the carriage before the horse. I think we've seen from the owners, they're not afraid to put anyone at risk, especially if it makes them money."
Wow. Quote. But tell us how you really feel.
That one was a cutting quote. Now, I don't need you to comment specifically on what he's talking about, but generally in terms of fans around baseball, no two states are going to be created equal here. Do you think at some point we might see some fans in the actual stands in the states?
Yes. If the season goes the distance, yes. And I would nominate Texas and Florida as the two states that would give it a run. Maybe Georgia, too. You know, we have the likely suspects, right? I think we all know who it would be. I have seen owners talk about that vaguely, in some of those states. I don't think it's going to happen in Toronto. It could even happen in New York, but I think it would be in Texas, Florida, maybe Georgia. Absolutely. If they can, I think they will. Like, Oklahoma, Trump had a rally, people there, South Dakota, people there. And I think some of the owners have a lot of influence within their own states. And depending on if the cases are still spiking or if they've leveled off, like we've already seen in certain states, there's more of a tolerance for a spike in cases than there was before. And some states opened up too early. They're not shutting down quick enough. So, yes, if I had to bet, yes, there will be fans at a game this year somewhere, or no, there won't, I would bet, yes, there will.
Danny Boy, always great catching up with you. Stay well. Have a wonderful weekend. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good luck with that doodle, my man.
Thank you. Gotta be careful with that, but I get it. There is Dan Shulman. Never had a man wish me good luck with my doodle.
But the way he said it, like with those pipes, like it's just a whole different way of saying it. Just fantastic.
Aaron says, call it Kawhi. Steven writes in, says magic. Oh. There's a lot of tabacs.
If you call it Kawhi, it will run away in a year.
Oh, 6-0. Off the top rope. A lot of people making the Ask'em joke. You should call it Ask'em, so when someone says, what's your dog's name, you say Ask'em.
That's stupid. Don't do that.
I love how quickly you got to that.
Let's permanently name someone something forever for a joke that's funny for 4 seconds. Let's do that.
Jean Tabac says Scott Adamson. There are several. Oh yeah, you're good with that.
Any classic Raptor that wasn't that good, I'm down for. I think it's a great idea.
And thanks to Andrea, who is literally like, there's like 45 names that she has listed. We'll go through them and try and come up with one or two of the best. Mark Spector coming up next. We'll talk about the hub city that is Edmonton, Alberta. That's next right here on Tim and Sid. Last day before 6-0's vacation. Can you tell? Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and just good old Sportsnet. Tim and Sid. McCalla family getting a dog, and we offered up the name to you, the Tim and citizens, and those who just stumbled upon us. I got a couple of more options for you, 6-0.
Go ahead.
S. Vela writes in and says, gotta be Gizmo.
Why does it gotta be Gizmo?
I think the alliteration there is why it's gotta be Gizmo.
Alliteration's overrated.
Steven writes in and says, Dr. Henry, if it's a boy. I like that one.
I like that.
It's pretty good.
I like that a lot, yeah.
Devon goes the other way and says, Melnick.
not Eugene Melnick.
No,
don't. Maybe Thomas Shabbat. I'll take Thomas Shabbat, but not Eugene Melnick.
I like this one. Proud writes in and says Gibby, and then gives you the old thumbs up gif.
Oh.
Gibby.
Gibby.
It's a good name for a dog.
Fire hydrant. Pick up my poop. I like it.
And finally, Dan D writes in and says, Bark Spectre.
It's not bad. I don't mind that because it's a segue into our next guest, exactly. Mark Spector from Sportsnet here. It's a real quiet NHL day, which means things are probably happening. We'll dive into that in just a second. Spec, it's been too long, man. How you doing? How are things out there?
Doing just great. It's a beautiful Alberta summer day, and I'm trying to enjoy it because I have a feeling I got about 2+ months inside an arena coming up pretty quick.
Well,
eh?
Well, how many rounds have you snuck in?
I've only played 5 or 6, but I did have a couple of nice surfs behind a boat today. Does that count?
Oh, yeah, that does count.
Well, that's worth some more.
It does. Now, are you riding the wave, or is there a rope attached to that boat?
Oh, there is a rope. Okay. I'm not one of those guys that throws the rope back quite yet here, but you know what? Maybe you can teach this old dog a new trick at some point. Might get there one day, but we're certainly not there yet, gentlemen. Come on, man. Give me a break. At least I'm out giving it the college try here.
No, I got you. I got you. I just wondered if you were one of those kids there with no rope surfing that wave with those expensive boats.
Yeah, no. Well, listen, there's no such thing as an inexpensive boat. Let me start there.
That is true, yeah.
All right, Spec. So the lifeboats are in the water here for the NHL season. It looks like, again, a quiet news cycle day. So we're all assuming what's happening behind the scenes here. Before we dive into the Edmonton-specific questions we have for you, how optimistic are you right now as a guy who's covered this game a long time? What time frame are you anticipating in terms of the CBA and return to play in the league and the players? What are you anticipating this weekend?
Oh, man, like that's just become the sucker question over the last few days. How many of us have said they're going to announce the hub cities in the next day or two? They're going to announce this in the next day or two. I mean, you know what? When I heard that they were basically diving all the way into a CBA and trying to extend it, I thought they may never play this season because you know how long it takes these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, heck, they cost themselves a whole season one time. So I was a little disappointed, but having had it explained to me how there's so many things that need changing, right? There's so many tweaks to the CBA that it's not minor surgery, and it really had to happen this way. There, you know, they had to dig all the way in, and since they were that far into the surgery, they might as well extend the darn thing 4 years. So I guess what I'm saying to you is I don't really care when it happens. I just care that it happens, and if they pull this off, and they're playing games on August 1st, and we've got 4 more years of a CBA labor peace, and we get the next 2 Olympic Games. I think, like, I'm taking my hat off to these guys because in the past, it's always a – the minute you hear a CBA, you know, you put everything on hold, you put your feet up, and it takes a long time. So I hope they pull it off, and if they do, I'll tip my hat to them.
Mark Spector joining us here on Tim and Sid. So one of the things that we pointed to early was, one, how amazing the province of British Columbia has dealt with the COVID-19 virus and how what a rock star Dr. Bonnie Henry has become. When she raised a Spockian eyebrow and the NHL moved on, there were some reactions in Alberta and there were some reactions in Ontario about, if she's raising a Spockian eyebrow, shouldn't the rest of us be doing the same? What's been the reaction in Edmonton about the idea that the Hub City will not only go there, but stay there for the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, it's not unanimous, you know, cheering in the streets. There's a lot of people who are saying, do we need this? Like, why are we doing this? Why are we bringing all these people in here from outside? Because Edmonton, you know, the Edmonton region has had 15 deaths and just over 1,000 total cases. So that's a region of 1.3, 1.4 million people. So, you know, they've done all, you know, it's been pretty good here. We haven't had a bunch of outbreaks. So people, yeah, there's people that are questioning why we're doing this. And I get that. Like, I get it, you know. I will say to you that, they're not bringing in, at least to their knowledge, they will not bring anyone here who has the virus. And they will not... they're going to live in this bubble. It's not like the Las Vegas, the Vegas Golden Knights are coming here to Edmonton, and they're going to be in the bars, and they're going to, you know, go to the restaurants, and they're going to go to the zoo and hang out at the lake. There's a really tight bubble on these guys. So I guess that what I'm trying to say to you is they may infect each other, but I'm not, you know, I think the chances are, I think I'm a sports writer, not a doctor, but I think the chances are pretty low that they'll infect people who are outside that bubble.
Mark Spector of Sportsnet here on Tim and Sid. Spec, what will this mean for the local economy if it goes right to the cup final? What will it mean?
Well, let's think it through. You know, so no fans, you know, so you're filling some hotels right away. You got a bunch of hotel workers who are all working who wouldn't be working. You got a bunch of people working at the rink who are working who wouldn't be working. So that's good. You know, I think they're going to have to facilitate a bunch of outdoor patio space for these guys and places for people to, inside this bubble to hang out. That's going to require staff. So, you know, you're going to create some jobs at a time when the economy's awful. You know, that's really the main thing. Remember this too, guys. Edmonton's not Vancouver and Edmonton's not Toronto. We're that little city that really cares what everyone thinks about us. You know, we're always looking around going, hoping we match up and make the grade. So, you know, Edmonton's pretty good at pulling stuff off. Like, remember that women's soccer tournament here that drew like 50,000 people?
People at Sportsnet remember it, too.
Yeah.
And remember the World Track and Field Championships when Toronto had the World Indoors and it failed miserably, and Edmonton put 40,000 people a day for 10 days in a row in the Commonwealth Stadium? We do that stuff because we're a little town that's always trying to prove that we can punch above our weight. You know, that's just what you get when you're a small northern Canadian city. And there's a lot of that in this, guys. There's a lot of the, you know what, we can pull this off. And when people leave Edmonton, you know, remember, a lot of these NHL players are used to coming here in December, January, and February when it's dark and cold. And I think they're going to come here. They're going to find the weather to be spectacular. And they're going to find the city to be really, really nice in August and September. And a lot of that works when you're an Edmontonian. You know what?
And come free agency time for some of these guys down the road, it could there's going to be some currency in that. Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Sure. I'll give you some of that.
Yeah, and covering the CFL and the NHL, I can tell you there is, like many Canadian cities, a significant difference when you come with the CFL and when you come with the NHL. From the guys that you've talked to, Spec, can there be a significant home ice advantage even with no fans?
I just don't see how there would be, to be honest. My answer to that is no. My understanding is the Edmonton Oilers will get to use their dressing room sometimes, and other times other teams will be using it, even when the Oilers are playing, right, is my understanding. If they're the visitor, they might get the visitor's room. They might get the Western Hockey League room or the Western Hockey League visitor's room. Like, you know, there's obviously they have to they're sharing their gym. They have a world-class gym right connected to the dressing room that they're sharing with the other teams. They're not living at home, you know, they're all living in the same hotel. So no, I'm going to tell you that, you know, a rink's a rink these days. It's not like you're playing in the Boston Gardens or the old Odd in Buffalo that were these weirdly shaped arenas that the Bruins built their team around the corners in that rink, right? Yeah. That's how they played. We don't have that. It's the same rink as everywhere else now. So no, I'm going to tell you, I do not see how there's a home ice advantage here whatsoever.
Mark Spector of Sportsnet here on Tim and Sid. In terms of extra motivation, though, Spec, for those Oilers to be doing it in their own building potentially, is there any currency in that, do you think? Does that give them a little extra fire?
Well, today's player, you know, I don't know. I think what will happen is there's going to be some love in the streets that they're going to be able to see.
Definitely.
Fans will have ingenuity. Right, there won't be any Vegas fans, in, you know, honking horns or anything like that. The love will get conveyed. I'll give you that. But today's player, man, come on, like today's player, you know, they feed off the energy of a crowd for sure. But when they go to the store and everyone says, "Hey," and they're not going to the store, but when they run into a fan who says, "Hey, we love you, Connor McDavid," he appreciates it. He's a nice guy about it. But does it make him play better, man? Doesn't make a play better, right? Let's face it.
Mark Spector joining us here on Tim said, all right, so the last time the Oilers hosted a Stanley Cup final game One, I was doing the highlights for the Score Television Network. Two, it was a 4-0 win over the Canes. Pisani early second period on the power play. The former Alberta Junior Hockey League star, unreal in that playoff. UC Markkanen, 16-save shutout. I know it won't be the same, but is there added intrigue if Edmonton does get to host and they start making a run that it's at home?
Yeah, sure. You know what? This is locally, yes. Right? Locally, yes. But you guys got to remember that this is a, I mean, you guys are in Toronto. You know what it's like to have a rabid hockey city that hasn't had any success for a long time. I don't have to tell you what that's like. Yeah. You know, Edmonton's been in the playoffs once in the last 13 seasons. So this is a really good hockey market. They pay a ton of money for tickets, and they buy their $13 beers, right? And they buy their $300 jerseys, as good or better than anybody in the country, man. This is it's a one-horse town. My pardon to the Eskimos, but it is. And this town is a solid northern hockey city where it's not just hockey weather. It's freaking cold out all the time. So do they love their team? You're damn right they love their team. And if this team has some success finally, you bet they're ready to, you know, honk their horns up and down Jasper Avenue a little bit. They haven't done a lot of horn honking here in about the last 14 seasons, guys. So not only are they ready to do it, I would say to you that the way they fill this rink and the way they support this team, I would say they deserve a little success out here. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah. And, Speck, listen, considering the reality of the situation we're in, let's say they lose in that best of five to the Blackhawks, they'll probably end up with Alexi Lafreniere. But we all know that's how it's going to play out.
Well, they are Team E, guys. They are Team E.
That's right. They are Team E, correct.
Team E.
Correct. I still can't believe that's how that played out. I know we don't have a ton of time here. I'm just kind of complaining out loud. I still can't believe that's how it played out. That's ridiculous. Speck, that's absolutely ridiculous.
It was the numbers.
Just ridiculous.
You wait. He's going to be on Sid Crosby's wing next year or Connor McDavid's wing, one of the two.
Yeah, that was the other one that I said was the Penguins. But if the Leafs ever ended up winning that, oh my, the rest of the hockey world will go bananas. And I wouldn't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Speck, before we let you go, Mikal, if you want to hop in on this, I'm looking at who scored the series winning goal in that cup final. Speck, do you remember who scored the series winning goal in the 06 Stanley Cup final between the Canes and the Leafs?
Let's see. It was a 3-1 game, so it was the second goal. Oh my goodness!
I have faith you're going to give me this. I have faith.
No, I remember they scored. Brind'Amour scored earlier. Who scored the second goal of the game for Carolina? Don't ask me to remember that.
Franciszek Kaberle.
Of course he did. Oh, yeah, that was easy. Frankie Kaberle.
I respect Speck that much, where I felt comfortable throwing it, and you almost got it. So hopefully you don't get mad at me for putting you on the spot. But I did have faith.
You were gonna get that. They have the internet for things like that, boys. I don't clog my brain up with Frank Kaberle trivia.
He had a good run. He had a Pisani-like run in that playoff. Listen, we always like catching up with you. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the Edmonton summer, and we'll do this when we get closer to actual hockey, hopefully.
All right, sounds good, boys. Thanks for the call.
All right,
see you.
Be well. There is Mark Spector from Edmonton. Time for a quick break. More dog names, good news of the day, and we say goodbye to Sixero for a week next. Right here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That Friday feeling here on Tim and Sid. Sixero is 16 minutes away from vacation.
I didn't even remember. You brought it up. I didn't. It's not important, McAuliffe. It's not important.
Gord says, name the dog Covey, as in COVID.
No. Terrible idea. Terrible idea.
Steven, whose avatar is a Calgary Flames logo, says Harvey, and then includes a picture of Harvey the Hound in it. Adrian says Scope and says, oh, geez, we'll get the reference.
Yes, they will.
I believe he means Tim and Sid, oh, geez. And me writes in and says, and this might be the best one, but I'm not sure we'll go with it. Larry O.B.
Larry O.B.'s fine. I didn't like the Kawhi idea, but Larry O.B. I'll live with. So when are you going to make a final call on the name? Like, are you going to put it on Twitter? Like, how are we going to know? Or what's going to happen?
Yeah, no. Well, when we get the dog, I'll let people know what the name of the dog is. But I have no idea what we'll end up. It has to go past the rest of my family as well. As much as I'd love to give the Tibbin citizens the ultimate naming power, I think my kids might have a say.
Look, it's obvious. Listen, I've worked with you enough, and with your kids around, your daughter's running the house. Do not let her dictate every term here by picking some obscure TikTok artist that no one over 35 has ever heard of, because that's the it thing, right? Like, if I was a kid and I had a dog and I named it the Ultimate Warrior,
Charlie's
I would
pretty
be making
big.
A mistake. Charlie's a big name. Charlie's a popular name. Yeah, I'm fine with that, but just not anything obscure.
I mean, Charlie the TikToker is really big.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let us know.
Charlie's... Oh. That was the taped TikTok that
I was about to bump.
My daughter was already.
All right. You know what? I'll make a TikTok when I'm off. Maybe I'll make a TikTok.
Nice.
And give all my information, all my info to the Chinese government. All of it.
They're separating themselves from the Chinese government after being banned in India. TikTok.
Smart move. Smart move.
Yes. Sylvie Legault gets our last tweet. And Sylvie writes in and says, I want to see Sid's fab weight loss stand up for us and show it off, and adds a gif that says, please, 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 on the end.
Okay, first off, these are demanding tweets. I'm not on some webcam here, all right? Like, relax.
I'm just giving you what the fans want.
Can you give me a little something, a little music? Yeah. This happened during quarantine, man.
No?
That was the video. That was a Hulkster video.
Hold on.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
I look good.
I can see it in your
I look good.
Eyes.
I look so good I'm going to do this segment standing up.
Oh, are you?
Oh, all yeah. All right.
Hello.
My wife's looking at me like I'm a snack.
Look at this. A chip witch.
Dude, this... A double stuffed Fudgio, more like. But Tim, when we get back in the studio in 2022, the lighting is going to make me look just like this is. We have a light here. We're doing the best we can. I'm going to be swimming in it. I look so good. I'm going to date myself.
All right, time for the good news of the day, and I want to get through it because I want to say something before you head to vacation. Something we didn't get to yesterday, but we thought was worth sharing as we head into the weekend. The Flyers' Oscar Lindblom was diagnosed with a rare bone cancer in December, got to ring the bell at Pennsylvania Hospital yesterday, signifying his final round of chemotherapy treatment. It was a wonderful moment, and it comes your way in 3, 2, and 1.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks for everything.
You're welcome.
Wow.
One more bell for Oscar Strong. The National Basketball Players Association announced today that it has donated $400,000 in grants to match donations made by NBA players over the past 2 months. The NBPA partnered with 24 current and former players, including Canadian Steve Nash and Dwight Powell, who is salt of the earth, as well as Kevin Durant and James Harden, to support their selected charities. The Atlanta Hawks are turning their arena into Georgia's largest ever voting precinct, hoping to keep voters socially distanced and speed up the voting process. The State Farm Arena will be used for the upcoming primary runoff election in August and the general presidential election in November. Long lines and delays. I don't know if you've heard. Been a recent problem. Yes. Detroit Pistons and Milwaukee Bucks have followed the Hawks' lead, also offering up their arenas.
Nothing makes me feel better about life, Tim, in this moment where we need things to feel better about than organizers. and people organizing for a pretty big day this November. So that's in a lot of ways a good news story of the day.
Atlantic Canada continues to do a great job containing the virus. Newfoundland and Labrador have gone 16 days without an active case and 36 days without a new case. And today, travel restrictions were lifted for people traveling within the four Atlantic provinces. So good news for them in Atlantic Canada. Congratulations on the great job that they're doing.
Phenomenal.
I don't know if this is good news, but did you know that the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest will be happening this year?
I did. I heard Joey Chestnut on Good Show with Bunkus and Ennis this week. So I was aware that it was going on, yes.
He thinks he could challenge his world record of 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
74 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
74 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
What's the 2 hours after that like? Nobody really talks about that.
Is there not a documentary? I'd love to find out.
Called The Aftermath.
I don't know if I need to find out, actually. Now that I think about it. Hey, listen, there was one thing yesterday. We were doing the 5-year anniversary of the show, and you wanted to get to the segment where you make me laugh, and I love it, and you're heading on vacation. But I wanted to say something after that. I wanted to thank everyone who has come on this 5-year journey in the latest incarnation. Definitely. With us. From all those who have worked on the show in its current format to anyone who has ever watched the show. And what we attempt to do every day isn't easy. It's almost entirely unscripted. The folks behind the scenes on TV had never really done anything like it. And think about it. All the ESPN shows up against us, if you don't know, they tape because it's that hard. Yeah, I could name them, but I'm not going to. But I'm so proud to work on something that tries to compete on that level from Canada and does. When we started this format, not a lot of people knew what the format was going to be. And since then, down south, we've seen Scott Van Pelt. We have seen Get Up. We have seen The Six all launch with similar formats. And I'm not sure how often Canada innovates the way this show has and does, even if it's not noticed in our own country. And I know that there aren't many people in Canada that can pull this off. And I work with a lot of them, including my co-host. And boardrooms will talk with buzzwords like nimble and multi-platformable and influencer and interactive and connective and real time. We do all of those things. We've done them for 5 years. Hell, we've done them for 8 years, and I'm so proud of that. I'm proud of all the people that have pulled it off with us. And Sid, I know you're going on vacation, and sometimes we joke about it, but I don't know another that could pull it off the way you have.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. And the greatest compliment I could give is this thing is hard, and you have made it look easy, especially since this whole pandemic thing started.
Yep.
2 or 3 hours of a sports show with no sports. It has been heavy. It has been hard. I just want to say that I'm very glad I get to do it with folks that I trust. You deserve the time. Enjoy the time.
Thanks, buddy.
Please drink a couple of beers for me until I get my vacation in a week's time.
Thank you, Timmy. Very well said. And on behalf of myself and everyone else on the crew that you were talking about, can you hit a horn for us just for everyone who does
for
this
five
every
years,
day
yeah.
for 5 years and for longer?
Cut the music for a second, Dylan.
Come on, Dylan. Cut the music. Yeah. Don't mean to yell at Dylan, but for everyone else, so we're not yelling.
Well, he's one of those people.
I know. Tim, and to you, thank you very much for everything you have done. No one cares more than McAuliffe, believe me. And this is a true team. So, Timmy.
Yeah.
I will see you in 2 weeks. You'll see me in 2 weeks. Appreciate what you just said. Enjoy the weekend, everyone. This is Tim and Sid. You know the show. And as we leave you, never forget.
I wash your hands, wash your hands, and wash your hands. Washing your hands, washing your hands, washing your hands.